The Israel Report with Rolene Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Ro, how are you?
This is a nice surprise, Miss Sasha Starr. I tell you, it's the sisters are doing it for themselves this afternoon on the drive.
We are indeed. It is fabulous to speak to you as always. And I'm not even going to get into the big controversy of the day just yet. We're going to start with some good news, I think, because Romania has made a great announcement.
Well, the big announcement is, will Romania join Guatemala, Honduras, and of course the United States in moving their embassy to Jerusalem? And it looks very, very likely. In fact, the president of the Chamber of Deputies and a member of Romania's ruling party, and I really hope I pronounce this correctly, guys, Liviu Dragnea, said that the decision was made on last Wednesday night, which was Erev Yom HaAtzmaut, to go to a major vote, and a memorandum had been approved at the government meeting in Romania. There will still be talks afterwards, and it still has to pass the Romanian cabinet, but with the support of the ruling Social Democratic Party, this is expected to go through, which is quite extraordinary. And you know, Prime Minister Netanyahu and members of his government have hinted at the fact that there may be some other countries to follow suit and move their embassies from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. And watch the space, because it looks like we are playing musical embassies here, Sash.
What are relations currently like between Israel and Romania, for those who aren't clued up?
Well, relations are pretty good between Israel and Romania. There has been a lot of cooperation in many, many areas. We also can't forget that there's been a lot of military cooperation over the last few years. Sadly, a couple of years ago, there was, during a military exercise in Romania, a helicopter crash which killed, I think it was 12 Israeli pilots. Very, very, very sad. But after the dark past that we share with Romania, many will know of many Jews rounded up and killed from Romania during the Holocaust, but our relations over the last couple of years have been really, really good, and the evidence is right here in the fact that Romania is seriously discussing and in fact are on the brink of moving their embassy to Jerusalem.
Too ambitious to think that it might happen next month?
I think to move it next month will be very, very highly ambitious. But I think if anything, if they do decide to move it, perhaps like with the United States, we might see something kind of ceremonial or symbolic being done. But slowly we are seeing those embassies. There are debates and a lot of speculation around the Czech Republic. Could the Czech Republic be the next country to announce that they are moving their embassy? And this is a very, very interesting example to have a look at. And last night I was actually sent photos of Christians waving Israeli flags in the heart of Prague, which is one of my favorite cities, demanding an end to anti-Semitism. And anyone who's familiar with Czech-Israel relations will know that the Czechs are very, very supportive of Israel. In fact, not coming from the government down, but mostly coming from the people up. So perhaps it is the Czech Republic who will be the next to say they are moving their embassy to Jerusalem. But certainly looking very, very positive. And it also remains to be seen, Sash, whether or not countries where we are establishing new bilateral relations, and there are some countries in Africa where this is the case, where they will be setting up their embassies.
Rolene, it's Graham. I'm Sasha's wingman today.
Hello, Sasha's wingman. You should have seen some of the hardware. We had wingmen in last week.
Rolene, I wanted to ask, what does it take to move an embassy?
It takes a lot of patience. It takes finding the right piece of real estate. It also takes finding the right piece of real estate that doesn't create a lot of tension between us and our neighbors. You know, one of the things that many people misconstrued when President Trump made his now infamous announcement that the United States was moving their embassy, there was mass panic because, you know, not only is he moving his embassy, but where is he going to move his embassy to? And I think most countries who do choose to move their embassies will move it to West Jerusalem. They will find somewhere that is fairly neutral, where they won't anger other countries in the region. And, you know, as you know, the Middle East is a very, very volatile region. Perhaps, you know, you've heard of the fact that things really can escalate at a moment's notice, as we've seen on our borders over the last couple of weeks. But that is more often than not what is involved in moving an embassy.
Now, you mentioned tension on the borders, as we know, but moving a bit further along to Malaysia, what exactly happened there?
Well, on the 21st of April, which was just a couple of days ago, two masked assailants allegedly shot Fadi Al-Bach to death in Kuala Lumpur, which is the capital of Malaysia. And who was Fadi Al-Bach? Fadi Al-Bach, who was 35 years old, was a Palestinian from the Gaza Strip and was an electrical engineer and lecturer at the British Malaysian Institute of the Kuala Lumpur University. But, and herein lies the big but, he was also an expert in the construction of rockets and also drones and also a Hamas activist. So there is, of course, a lot of speculation that perhaps Israel was involved in some kind of assassination. And if that was the case, Hamas have vowed revenge for any kind of assassination attempt by Israel against one of their own.
To be fair, Hamas vows revenge even when nothing is done to them at all.
Well, absolutely. And we've seen this over the last couple of weeks, in fact, the last 4 weeks with these so-called March of Return protests, which I must just reiterate to our listeners, are anything but peaceful protests, especially over the last weekend when four kite bombs were flown over the border into Israeli territory, setting fire to numerous Israeli fields in the south. Thank goodness our extra vigilant fire department managed to put them out.
Is there anything you can do to stop that? I know when one sends a rocket over or a missile, you have the Iron Dome, and the Iron Dome sort of shoots it down midair. But with a kite bomb, is there any similar process? Can you sort of shoot at it midair?
Well, this is the million-dollar question, and this is what has, and I'm glad you bring it up because this is what has created a lot of controversy in the last couple of weeks. Is that we've heard from people, you know, the world media, people like Bernie Sanders, saying that Israel has overreacted with regards to the situation on our borders in the south. And I was in the south just 10 days ago on the border on a Friday, observing and filming what was happening on the border. And the reality is that Israel is facing a very, very belligerent enemy on the south. People have accused us of overreacting, and yet nobody can actually give us a solution for it that is different to what Israel is doing now. It is a very, very difficult situation that we find ourselves in. In fact, even when I was there, there were shots fired at Israeli soldiers monitoring the border. It is a very, very difficult situation. Hamas know this. They are exploiting it to the best of their advantage. And unfortunately, many are being drawn in by their quest for international headlines and for press coverage. And the less attention we pay to Gaza and the situation in Gaza, the more theatrical these stunts become. However, we do take them very, very seriously because as we approach the 15th of May, which is the anniversary of the English or
Gregorian.
The Gregorian calendar's declaration of the State of Israel. So we are anticipating that perhaps May could be a very, very difficult month for the State of Israel.
And of course, as well, the embassy, the U.S. embassy being moved to Jerusalem on the 14th, if I'm not mistaken.
You are not mistaken. They are moving their embassy along with two other countries, Guatemala and Honduras, who have said that they will be moving their embassies around those dates as well.
Loving your pronunciation, by the way.
I practiced that session just for you.
I'm so honored. Now, speaking of being honored, and I don't know, I read the story and I was dumbfounded for about 20 minutes. I was just seething with anger. Very hot topic of the day. We covered it on the Star Report. I know they spoke about it on the morning show as well. Natalie Portman has gone a bit cray.
Okay, so we have to put it out there because, of course, this is naturally as it would have. This has ignited a beep storm. I'm not going to say the real word, family radio and all, but it has ignited a beep storm. Now, this is my opinion. There are many in Israel, and it has to be accepted, who do not agree with Netanyahu and his policies because Israel is a democracy and this is how we function. However, if Natalie Portman had clarified at the outset why she wasn't accepting her Genesis Award, would we have had this absolute beep storm that we're facing now, which resulted in many attacking her, especially ministers from the Likud party who went absolutely, as we say in good South African tal, bossies on Natalie Portman, accusing her of everything, including being a BDS activist, which she is adamant she is not. So it has created a debate, and it's quite a fascinating debate, and this is why I wanted perhaps the SMS lines, the input of our listeners.
Absolutely. If you do want to weigh in on this conversation with Rolene and myself, please do so. Our SMS number is 34519. And of course, you can WhatsApp us on 061-895-1019. I'm speaking to Rolene Marks on the Israel Report. Ro, you said something about if she had clarified her statements at the outset. Do you mean when she was initially announced as the recipient of the Genesis Prize, which I just like to reiterate is an apolitical prize?
It's apolitical, yes. However, it is awarded by the Prime Minister's office, which is why I think she's taken the stand that she has. I think if she had at the outset, and I have to say that Helen Mirren, who received the Genesis Prize at received it. She's extremely pro-Israel. She's done a lot for Israel. She stood up for Israel, but she also declined posing for pictures with Prime Minister Netanyahu. That was Helen Mirren's stance with receiving this, and I think so was Michael Douglas's as well. I think that celebrities or recipients of the prize are very careful not to be seen as endorsing a political figure, which is their right. And it is the right of Natalie Portman, who is an Israeli citizen,
yes,
to disagree with policies. However, in my opinion, if at the outset she has said, these are my reasons, I do not agree with Netanyahu, I disagree with some of his policies, this is Israel debating, disagreeing is our national sport. However, her wording and the use of the word atrocities really hurt people and got our backs up, understandably, because she did not clarify any of her reasons. And afterwards, after she had really opened up a can and worms were everywhere, really had to take a massive step back and clarify why she said what she said. But it has ignited a huge debate. One is, and it's something that I think we have to be very, very conscious of, because I find that even in our diaspora communities, we tend to lose sight of this. Is there space in the tent for divergent opinions? You know, if you disagree with Netanyahu, or if you disagree with something, you know, are you, you know, putting the cherem? Also, we need to understand that there is a very big difference between healthy criticism of Israel or Netanyahu or the government and their policies, and being anti-Israel.
I think that was actually said by Minister of Energy Yuval Steinitz. He said, criticism of Israel is not anti-Semitism. Boycotting Israel has elements of anti-Semitism.
Absolutely. And of course, because if we rewind back in our history and we go back to what precipitated the Holocaust, the Shoah, it started with a system of boycott. And that is why we are very, very sensitive to it. Coupled with statements by Natalie Portman saying that perhaps it's time, you know, we shouldn't speak so much about the Holocaust, which is in itself to me a very offensive statement, because the more we talk about it, the more we hope to educate future generations, Jewish and non-Jewish, against the dangers of genocide. And we don't have a situation like we face in the United States, where one third of the population have never heard of the Shoah.
Now,
we see this rise in anti-Semitism.
Ro, you're on the ground. What are Israelis saying? What are their feelings? Because Natalie Portman was known as Israel's darling. She was the Wonder Woman before Gal Gadot. So have they been completely put off? Are there some who do realize that she is within her right not to endorse the Prime Minister? I mean, I know many, many Israelis who are not in support of the Prime Minister, and yet they still love and support Israel.
Well, this is exactly it. It's been very, very polarizing. And again, we must not forget that Natalie Portman is an Israeli citizen. So she has a right to also exercise her right to vote and vote against Netanyahu should she decide to go that way. It is very polarizing because we have people, Likud supporters and others saying she's propagated BDS, she's given a tailwind to BDS, which she has, because the moment she said what she said without clarifying, they jumped on the bandwagon. And it was, yay, here's another one for us, which of course now she's had to clarify. And then you've got other elements of society saying, you know what, we're also against Netanyahu, and we totally agree with what she says, and thank God she said it, because it's a game changer. And then you've got perhaps the majority of us in the middle who are saying, you know, she's got a right to say what she says. However, she should have clarified at the outset why she said what she said, without having to backtrack, without having to take a large slice of crow and have to clarify what her position is. It's put her on the defensive, it's put us on the defensive, and it's created a lot of hate. She also came out when she clarified her statement and said, I will now be giving a lot of money to Israeli charities. My personal opinion is, if she accepted the Genesis Prize, it would have given her a platform and an opportunity to engage with people who maybe share her view. It would have given her an opportunity to maybe engage with Netanyahu and explain, as an Israeli citizen, why she is concerned and feels the way she feels. And also, she could have used that $2 million to give to charities. And also, many of us find it very hypocritical that she has accepted prizes from China when one has to consider the human rights violations and human rights, and, in my opinion, as an animal lover, animal rights in China, and she has accepted prizes from that.
Absolutely. Thank you, Ro. I think you have summed that up quite wonderfully. We will speak to you again tomorrow at 5:35 South African time.
I'm there for you guys always.